Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Not the Clearwater cow. Hey, lefties, leave our cows alone. Man, the Clearwater cow, they got the Clearwater cow. I tell you what, man, these left-wing activists are a bunch of nut jobs. Yeah, I first saw this here, Jim Strauss. He's with the Montana Newspaper Association now. Jim, it was great to see you in Helena a couple weeks ago. But he used to be at the Missoulian, the Great Falls Tribune before that. But he shared this on X about 14 hours ago. Landmark cow vandalized at Clearwater Junction. This was a, looks like a Facebook post here from the Clearwater Stop and Go. We are deeply saddened and angered by the recent vandalism of the cow. This landmark means so much to us all, and it's hard to believe that anyone would want to damage it. We encourage anyone with information to come forward and help us ensure this does not happen again. And there you can see the Clearwater cow. NBC News had a report here. The iconic Clearwater cow is the victim of vandalism. The Clearwater Stop and Go convenience store shared a photo of the cow online showing "resist" plastered on the cow. And of course, anybody who's driven, you know, from Missoula to Sealy Lake, or you've taken, you know, the drive from the Flathead maybe over to Helena, and you take that cut across through Sealy on through Avon, whatever, yeah, classic cow, you know, on the sign there at the gas station on the intersection of Highway 200 and Highway 83 was vandalized with the word "resist" on it. And I have one big question. Has the Democrat candidate for governor, old Fussy Bussy, has he been questioned by law enforcement yet? Do we know the whereabouts of the climate activist, the gun control activist, and the former Democrat candidate for governor? Do we know his whereabouts on or about the time of the vandalism of the cow? Because you remember, after the November 2024 election results came out and he lost by 21 points, he sent out a one-word tweet, "resist." Anyway, these folks on the left, though, but man, they just can't resist going after the cows in Montana, whether it's the real ones on the ground, whether it's the iconic statue of the Clearwater cow. They just can't resist. They, you know, that's why I say, lefties, leave our cows alone. Kind of like that Pink Floyd song. They want to, you know, support the radical left-wing groups like the American Prairie Reserve trying to kick the cows and you cattle ranchers off the land. Now they go after this statue. Boy, I'll tell you what, the craziness continues. Let's see. We've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, man, we had such a busy week on the road for the last week with a live show from the Capitol and then 3 days of live shows from the SHOT Show. So what do you want to talk about? The microphone is yours here for a quick few minutes, 406-294-0970. We'll get to Mike and Big Timber first, and then we're going to have a legislative update with Americans for Prosperity Montana, and then open phones right after that again. So call in right now, 294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Back right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The California wildfires would have been a major issue had Congress not just forked over more than $100 billion to FEMA and to cover various disasters just before Christmas time. It's likely that FEMA's fund demands another cash infusion once the money is spent to cover the wildfires in California. But here's the problem. Some Republicans are skeptical of the competence of FEMA to do the job. More disasters means additional demand for relief, and that's the challenge as Republicans try to cut spending. A few wise souls on Capitol Hill have tinkered with developing a new model to address natural disasters. The current budget model is to fund appropriations under the premise that nothing will happen. Then it's sometimes a problem for lawmakers to pass a bill providing additional aid. So there were two monster hurricanes in the fall. Wildfires now. What's next? There has been debate about creating a rainy day fund, which Congress could tap for chunks of money without hassle when natural disasters hit. Other natural disasters are inevitable, but congressional funding to cover the cost is far from it. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. As winter continues, with some parts of the country getting unusually cold temperatures, it's heightening concern about the silent killer, carbon monoxide poisoning. The CDC says that sends more than 1,000 Americans to the emergency room every year, killing more than 400. Carbon monoxide can be found in the vapor produced by furnaces, gas stoves, portable generators, and more. And with home heaters and fireplaces running for longer, it could lead to a buildup of the potentially lethal gas indoors, prompting doctors like Samuel Hawkins with the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center to sound the alarm.
The reason is we can't detect it with any of our senses, meaning it's colorless, it's tasteless, and we can't smell it. The only way to detect it is with a carbon monoxide detector.
Doctors say you also need to regularly check furnaces and heaters to make sure they're working properly. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
All right.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's just jump right into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. Mike in Big Timber kicking things off. Mike, what's on your mind this morning? Happy Monday to you.
Well, thank you, Aaron. I'm glad you made it back safely. I have a question and a quick proposal. The question is, in this judicial reform legislation, what is, if they have to claim party affiliation, what's to prevent someone from just saying, hey, I'm a Republican, and then turn around and if they're elected, do what the Democrats do on the bench?
Yeah. No, there's, well, the thing to do to prevent that is there's nothing to prevent somebody from running as a Republican. Kind of like if you watch the Eastern Montana congressional primary, there was at least one or two in there that claimed to be Republicans that, you know, it's pretty obvious if you actually watch what they really say and do that, I don't think you guys are Republicans. I think you're just pretending to be. And so in the same regard with judicial elections, if there was a party affiliation in judicial elections, yeah, somebody could call themselves a Republican and run in the primary, but hopefully they would be weeded out by Republican primary election voters, right?
Yeah, you would hope that. And the proposal I have, your last segment at the SHOT Show, I thought was absolutely hilarious when you strapped on that simulator. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, good. Could you hear it okay over the radio? Because we were laughing much, and I was getting zapped.
I proposed one of those things has to be put on the arms of every single elected official. And somebody holds that button down on four. If they do something wrong, you give them a zap.
New tool for the Republican caucus. We'll bring the AU Fire Simulator, where they put this sleeve on your arm, and if you start voting with the Democrats to undermine your fellow Republicans, you can't even hit that red or the green button.
Are you fully healed from all that? How long did the effect last?
Yeah, you know, it was funny. It was like, well, if you saw the video, I've got the full video on our Montana Talks website. If anybody missed it, yeah, I put on this simulator that's supposed to simulate being shot. And it's a training tool to where, like, okay, now your right arm's out of commission. How are you going to shoot with your left arm and vice versa? And so, immediately afterwards, my forearm, I mean, it was like I was doing curls at the gym with too heavy a weight for too long. I mean, I was like stretching my arm out and everything, looking back though, I'm like, I'm really glad it didn't trigger my lower back because, man, I tell you what, but actually it was funny because that arm later in the day was actually looser. And then my left arm was kind of getting tight, left shoulder. So maybe that whole shot simulator is a way to loosen up all your muscles. So just put on a whole sleeve of that thing.
Yeah, and they should do it to people in the judiciary. Anybody wearing a black robe has to wear one of those things. If you rule against the Constitution, bang, you get, you know, you get your arm, you know, snapped.
A little shock therapy. Now, that sounds shocking to some people, but then again, some of these people in black robes want to chop body parts off of kids. So, you know, a little electric stimulation sleeve on the arm doesn't sound that bad all in comparison. All right, Mike, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Glad you enjoyed the SHOT Show coverage and the SHOT simulator. Yeah, it was pretty entertaining, especially hearing old John Jackson in the background. Can't wait to see what he's got for us on Tuesday, coming up tomorrow when he's back in studio with us as well. Let's go to Kat in eastern Montana. Kat, great to hear from you. I'm seeing you all over Twitter or X this morning as well.
Yes, Aaron, thank you. It is so nice to that you're back safe. And that was so funny when you were shot. I plastered that all over social media. I laughed so hard. So sorry it was at your expense, but, hey, you know, a good laugh is a good laugh.
We're
right?
We're here for you. But, that's what we're here. we will you know, sacrifice ourselves for the laughter of others. So that's right.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. So real quick, I just wanted to touch on the U.S. Constitution. So there's a section in the U.S. Constitution. It is Title 8, Section 1324. In that, it lists the definition of harboring an illegal alien and what crimes a person or group commit when they aid illegal aliens. So I suggest everyone in Montana looks that up and becomes very familiar with our U.S. Constitution, but sometimes those things are hard to find. So it's Title 8, Section 1324. So, you know, and then I just want to touch on here that, you know, it makes you wonder why you're seeing these Catholic organizations and public schools releasing news updates and tutorials on how to evade ICE. I mean, it just makes you wonder after you read this part of the Constitution. So I thought I'd just offer that up to your listeners today and do with it what you will, but it's a great, great learning tool.
Yeah, think about it. If that law is actually enforced on any person or organization that is aiding and abetting illegal aliens breaking into this country, not only that, but now that the drug cartels have been named an official terrorist organization, if they're aiding and abetting a terrorist like the drug cartels, you know, what type of penalties could we be looking at there? Look at that's why, like, when I see the, and Kat, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Great topic. That's why when I see these phony headlines, people are scared. People on the reservations are scared that Trump's going to deport them. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're one of the drug cartel operatives, you should be scared that you're going to be deported. But if you're Native American, Donald Trump is not deporting Native Americans. What kind of clown thought this was a valid news story? Give me a break, without putting it in context, at least. Now, then again, if you're on the reservation aiding and abetting terrorists, yeah, you should be scared.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Tariffs were used extensively when our country was young, when British manufactured goods dominated markets. There's little precedent for a modern, industrialized, large economy imposing tariffs on the scale envisioned by the Trump campaign. But the first Trump administration did raise tariffs, and the results were surprising to some. Appliance manufacturer Whirlpool's expectation that tariffs on imported washing machines will help its profits grow were dashed when they realized that those same tariffs pushed up prices for the steel they used at their domestic plants. It's the unintended consequences of tariffs, most of which are perfectly predictable, that have made a generation of economists stand firmly against their use. The fact that they lead to retaliation from those whose exports are affected. The fact that they're often passed along as price increases to consumers. The fact that they allow laggard, inefficient companies to remain in business when competition might have forced them to improve. Shall we learn those lessons again? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's January 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Chocolate Cake Day. Do we need to say anything else? The earliest known chocolate cake recipe was published in 1847 by Philadelphia cookbook author Eliza Leslie. Unlike modern recipes which use cocoa powder, her recipe called for chopped chocolate to be used in the batter. Whether homemade or store-bought, you can't go wrong with a big slice of chocolate cake and a tall glass of cold milk. Also on this date, in 1880, Thomas Edison patents the light bulb, known then as the incandescent lamp. Well, since my baby lamp, will I find a new and Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel was released in 1956. It would go on to become the King's first million-selling single. If it's your birthday today, you share it with composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born in 1756, and the captain of the Titanic, Edward Smith, born in 1850. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, real quick before we get into our legislative update here. You know, speaking of illegal aliens, nearly 1,000 have been arrested by ICE during the sixth day of the Trump administration already. I think FoxNews.com had that report. The Daily Caller has a great back and forth between border czar Tom Homan and Martha Raddatz. Martha Raddatz from ABC's This Week. Remember, Martha Raddatz was the one who said, well, it's only a handful of apartment complexes that were taken over by Tren de Aragua down in Aurora, Colorado. Oh, yeah, just a handful of apartment complexes taken over by the violent Venezuelan prison gang. But here is Tom Homan. The Daily Caller has this headline. ABC reporter cannot seem to accept Tom Homan's answer that illegal aliens will be deported every day of Trump's term. All right, let's see. I had the audio queued up here, ready to go. Let me click on it one more time. All right, I think it's ready now.
Hold on, our border's closed.
So is this what we will see every single day, ending in what the president has promised is millions and millions being deported?
Yes, but you're going to see the numbers steadily increase, the number of arrests nationwide as we open up the aperture. Right now it's concentrating public safety threats, national security threats. That's a smaller population. So we're going to do this on priority basis, as President Trump's promised, but as that aperture opens, there'll be more arrests nationwide.
When you talk about the aperture opening, the estimates of perhaps those who have been convicted or arrested in the past, 700,000 to over a million. So after you do that, then you go after everybody who is there illegally.
If you're in the country illegally, you're on the table, because it's not okay to, you know, violate laws of this country. You've got to remember, every time you enter this country illegally, you violated a crime under Title 8, United States Code 1325. It's a crime. So if you're in the country illegally, you got a problem. And that's why I'm hoping those who are in the country illegally who have not been ordered removed by the federal judge should leave.
Well, yes, self-deport yourself. And listen to Martha Raddatz. She's just beside herself. You mean if people broke the law, you're going to enforce the law? Oh, I mean, just the pearl clutching. I mean, if you think my forearm was sore after I wore that SHOT Show shooting simulator on my arm, I'll bet you her forearm is it's even more sore there after all the pearl clutching she just did during that segment with Tom Homan. All right, well, let's jump right into it here. We've got our friend Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana with us on the phone lines. Hey, Henry, it was great running into you at the Montana Capitol a little over a week ago.
Oh, yeah, always great to see you live in person, Aaron. And great to be at the Montana State Capitol again. And the session is well underway. And we're engaging in a lot of, in some really, not a lot, but a very targeted list of key transformational bills. And one of them is coming up this week that I want to talk to you and all the listeners about, because it's National School Choice Week, everybody. National School Choice Week, where we could make some profound changes in our system. We got a major bill being introduced this week in House Education Committee. It'll be heard on Friday, January 31st, 3 p.m. It's called the Montana's Academic Prosperity Program for Scholars, otherwise known as MAPS, where it's going to significantly increase parents' accessibility and affordability for to send their child to the school or provide the educational resources their child needs to flourish, to succeed, to develop their skills and gifts and talents so they can be of greater service to society. So it's very exciting. We have activists coming to the Capitol from all over the state of Montana to participate in the annual school choice rally at the Capitol 12 noon that is spearheaded by our partner, Montana Family Foundation. We have a private briefing with legislators the night before with some of the top leaders in education reform in the nation and in the state. So we got a lot going on this week, Aaron, a lot of exciting things. If anybody wants to participate and come to the Capitol on Friday, they're more than welcome to, 12 noon at the Capitol. You can contact our offices in Bozeman and Billings find out how you can carpool with us and get signed up to testify in committee or meet your legislators in the hallway and engage in some really effective grassroots lobbying, because the stories of individuals are really powerful and perhaps even more effective than us paid lobbyists, and certainly more effective than the corporate lobbyists and those who lobby on behalf of administrations or the public unions.
No, that's a great point. When real people show up telling real stories, I just saw somebody just the other day was saying, okay, that's it. My kid's just been getting bullied so much. I saw a friend share this, that they're like, I got to figure out this homeschooling thing, is what they said. And so it's not just, you know, people that have their kids in a Christian school or an internationally focused, you know, private school or independent school. There's also teachers that work for a public school, say in Bozeman, but they live in Manhattan and they want their kids to be able to drive in with them when they go to school. They want their kids to be in, you know, in the public schools that they teach in. So there's not just private school or independent school choice. There's also school choice within the public school system. And so those stories and those real people showing up is what really matters and really powerful in Helena. And I know it's tough for people to break away from their schedules and everything, but if you're a homeschooler, if you're a public school choice family or whatever, a great opportunity to be there and share your story.
Absolutely. In addition to that, I mean, it's preferable for people to show up in living person at the Capitol, but we also understand that people's lives are busy and the travel is pretty far. And there are ways to participate remotely. You can just sign up to testify on Zoom, which is very effective, by the way. And when our people, our staff will teach you how to do that. It's pretty simple. Here's the beautiful thing about this particular bill, the MAPS bill that we're talking about. Now, previously, currently, we have a system whereby individuals, corporations, organizations can contribute to a scholarship awarding third party group who would then award scholarships to kids. This bill enhances that, but it also allows for parents who spend out of pocket money on qualified education and get a dollar for dollar tax credit for the money they spend on non-public school education, which is really a breakthrough. That's really the very unique thing about this particular legislation. And listen, if you're a homeschooler and you want to do your homeschooling thing, it's optional whether you want to participate in this thing, but this is not government money we're talking about. We're talking about private funds. So the government has no role in telling private schools or parents how to educate or what to teach. So it's a good bill.
So no strings attached then. If people are concerned, well, if I take part in this, am I going to then be dictated to by, you know, local government or state government or whatever? No strings attached with this. I remember last legislative session and the session before, I know, Henry, your efforts and AFP Montana's efforts combined with a coalition of folks supporting school choice had very successful legislative sessions with the Republican majority and Governor Greg Gianforte. And so this will build on some of that past success.
Absolutely. We expect the same. This is even more transformational than the last tax credit scholarship bill we got through. This is a hybrid tax credit scholarship education savings account bill, which we're very excited about. We did have some other reforms last time around with a special needs ESA program that was approved. In fact, if you're a special needs parent, you can also apply and be a part of this program. and get more help to get your kid the kind of educational resources they need that they may not be able to access in public schools. And by the way, Aaron, we're for improving education across the board in public schools, private schools, and innovative. So that's what we're all about. We believe in free markets. We believe in the free market of education. And this is a bill that will only advance that.
That's right. You know, as we approach America's 250th and seeing President Trump sworn in 1 week ago, it's, you know, how are we going to make America great again if we don't make education great again? And this is all part of that effort for you know, not just private schools, but for public schools as well. And it's really cool with Pete Hegseth being Secretary of Defense. I mean, he's actually written a book about classical education and because he understands the importance of education when it comes to freedom and liberty.
Absolutely. And again, as parents, our children represent the best hopes for us and for our future. And it is incumbent upon us to provide them the best possible education to make them better prepared to face the challenges as they emerge into adulthood in a more complex and challenging society than we have been growing up in. So it is our responsibility as parents to do so, and our responsibility as those who like to influence policy to be engaged in these kinds of battles, because our hope for freedom and liberty resides in the next generation as well.
All right, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Great to have you on the show. Look forward. We're going to have this legislative update every Monday here at this exact same time throughout the duration of the legislative session, as I understand it. So we look forward to hearing your updates, because I know you guys are going to be tackling a whole host of topics, economic prosperity topics in particular, that I know our listeners are going to want to hear about. So that school choice rally coming up Friday noon at the Capitol, right?
Right at noon at the Capitol and 3 p.m. at House Education, you'll hear a major transformation of bill in education. Yep, this Friday is part of National School Choice Week.
And for anybody who just wants to get more involved in the legislature, they want to, you know, stay on top of the various bills and they want to be influential even from afar, how can they get a hold of you? Because you guys will help train them up, get them ready to roll.
Absolutely. I'll just give you my phone number, 406-581-5410, 406-581-5410, or look us up on AmericansForProsperity.org and scroll down to our chapter and get a hold of us. We'll be glad to get you connected, get you trained up, and provide all kinds of opportunities.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was scrolling through some of the Fox News radio headlines here this morning because several of our stations that Montana Talks is carried on right now are Fox News radio affiliates. And so as a result, I get their Fox News radio outlook, which is kind of like, you know, 8 or 9 pages of news reports. Hey, here's what the president's up to today. Here's what else is going on. We're going to be at Joint Base Andrews, then we'll be over here. You know, you get the picture here. Oh, by the way, the vice president is taking his first domestic trip as vice president today. He's going to be touring areas and meeting with folks who were impacted by Hurricane Helene. But, yeah, so incredible, just big picture, looking over the weekend. Over the weekend and on Friday night, I was sitting with some incredible military veterans, Attorney General Austin Knutson and his wife, Christy. They were still in Vegas. We all tried to get out of Vegas early on some earlier flights back to Montana, but the flights were all just packed. But it ended up working out because caught up with some incredible Montanans. John Jackson, the Joker, and I, actually, we ended up grabbing a cigar that night. I think in the Palazzo Casino floor, all the radio row, all the media row people were going to do a little get together at 6 o'clock Friday anyway. And so, but anyway, we ended up catching up with these guys out of Florida. Great guys. They do a show called Arms Room Radio. So the Arms Room Radio guys were there again, and they're cool. They got like these, you know, they look like they own their own Harley Davidson, you know, a motorcycle dealership, you know, and then one guy's a lawyer and likes to talk guns. So that was great hanging out with them. Well, then Attorney General Austin Knutson and Christy ended up showing up with some just incredible military veterans, and we were sitting with them as the news came in that Pete Hegseth had been confirmed as Secretary of Defense. And that was just incredible, because I remember when Pete Hegseth was back here in 2019, and I got to MC the banquet that Pete Hegseth was the keynote speaker at. I think that was the same event when Medal of Honor recipient Leroy Petrie was there, and he went around and talked to everybody, showed them the Medal of Honor. He was missing a hand because he literally picked up an enemy grenade and threw it back at the enemy and then lost his hand in the process. So he has this like robotic hand. And he'd walk up to people and he'd say, "Hey, can I give you a hand?" And then he would take his hand off and let them hold it. I mean, it just was an incredible American. But so cool to see a fellow combat veteran like Pete Hegseth get sworn in and confirmed as Secretary of Defense. And then Kristi Noem, now former governor of South Dakota. We got to see her in Great Falls. I ran into her a bunch at the SHOT Show a few years ago, and then ended up hanging out with her and her entourage down at the Safari Club, the SCI, International Convention as well, because both the SHOT Show and SCI were held in Vegas that one year. And, and she was in Great Falls campaigning alongside Navy SEAL and now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. In fact, it was so incredible. I ended up, I was in Great Falls anyway, and we were doing some events that morning. And so they said, "Hey, the Sheehy campaign said, "Hey, do you want to introduce Tim and Kristi Noem at this event?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And so I got out there, said hi to the crowd, said a few things, and then got the honor of introducing, both now Senator Sheehy and Governor Noem, now Secretary Noem, because she has now been sworn in after her confirmation as Secretary of Homeland Security. So she's going to be a major part of securing our borders and getting these illegal aliens out of our country. So that was incredible to see as well. Especially after talking backstage with her and Tim Sheehy, just real deal, down to earth, and great to have some Westerners back there bringing in that Western mentality to Washington. But you've already heard, nearly 1,000 illegal aliens already rounded up by ICE in just the first 6 days of the Trump administration. The incredible raid led by the DEA down in Colorado with 50 illegal aliens loaded onto a bus. What about these so-called refugees? The organizations here in Montana that were bringing in these so-called refugees and these so-called asylum seekers. We know how the Biden regime totally, in fact, we heard last week, we had John Fabricatori join us on the show. He's a retired ICE field office director who covered the whole state of Colorado where all these TDA raids just took place. And he told us firsthand the way they were abusing the refugee and asylee process. Just call anybody a refugee. "You're a refugee. You're a refugee. You're an asylee." And he told us on this show with us in person how they were basically taking illegal aliens and then giving them some phony status. And then you've got entities here in Montana who are bringing these people in. Do you guys remember when Congressman Ryan Zinke talked about not allowing these so-called refugees from the Gaza Strip into America? Here you have the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust, and it was committed by Hamas terrorists in the Gaza Strip. And public polling shows that a majority of the people supported these Hamas terrorists. So why in the world would we allow them into the United States of America? And, of course, here's the typical liberal media. Here's the folks on the left and the Montana Democrats calling Ryan Zinke a racist because he didn't want to bring these so-called refugees from the Gaza Strip into America. Well, anyway, I'm reading the Fox News Outlook here just a few minutes ago during the break, and there's a story about refugees from the Gaza Strip. President Donald Trump's push to have Egypt and Jordan take in large numbers of Palestinian refugees from the besieged Gaza fell flat with those countries' governments on Sunday. So you've got two Arab countries, you've got Egypt and Jordan, and And the United States is saying, hey, why don't you guys take some of these Palestinian refugees? You know, from your neighborhood, you know, fellow Muslims, fellow Arabs. They don't want them. So if you're an American who says, I don't want these terrorist sympathizers being embedded into American cities and towns, we don't want them here, you're called a racist. But if you're the leader of a Muslim country, the leader of an Arab country, and you don't want them either, watch how quickly the media tries to bury that narrative. Why don't they want them? It's a good question, right? All right, let's go back into the phone lines. We've got Clint in Bozeman on the line. Clint, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I want to know, did you enjoy yourself in Las Vegas?
Well, you know, it's yes, I did. But it's funny, I was so busy doing the show that was pretty much, you know, that was it. By the time we got done prepping for the show and doing the radio show, there wasn't a lot of other free time to really enjoy too much. But I got to hang out with some great fellow veterans, guys I served with in Afghanistan and elsewhere. That was probably my favorite part, was just catching up with, you know, some guys I hadn't seen in over 12 years. 15
well,
years, maybe.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I got to ask a big favor of you, Aaron. The people of the state of Montana listen to you, I think, after 9 o'clock. Most all of them do. And you do an awful good job reporting the news and stuff here in Montana and what happened to the people and everything. And I got to give you an A-plus for all that.
Well, you're too kind. I hear a butt coming.
The butt is this here. I want you to do something for all those people out here in the state of Montana. I want to know, how much more our legislature that is meeting right now is going to cost a taxpayer of the state of Montana? I'd like to have you kind of keep a check on that. I used to go to the Capitol. I went over there for 20, 30 years every year to try to help keep the taxes and stuff down. But anyway, I would like to see maybe, I think you have the means of keeping track of that. And us people
I think,
out here in Montana.
Isn't it, didn't they say, I may be wrong here, I'd have to follow up with somebody, you know, who knows these numbers, but didn't they say that, like, that it's about $100,000 a day to operate the legislature? Is that right? It sounds like a lot, but because I know when they talked about having a special session, you know, after the last legislative session, I could have sworn somebody tweeted out something saying that it costs about, they figure it costs about. Now, I don't know if that costs more because it's a special session and now you got to ramp everything back up again, if it's more efficient when the legislature's in session. But there's also a good question of what is the cost of not having we the people represented in our government in Helena, and when we don't have lawmakers going back there to lower our taxes or to lessen regulations or to stand up to the environmental extremists that are shutting this down. So I think there's a cost of not having an elected legislature of we the people meeting.
Well, I'm not against that. I'm not against not having the legislature. I just want to know. I think it's a wonderful thing we have it. I think it's set up perfect. But I think that also that we the people out here in the state of Montana have a right to know how much more money it's going to cost us in taxes and rules and regulations.
Oh, I see. Not just the cost of running the legislature, but how much is it going to cost us with everything else? That's a really good question. All right, we got to hold it right there. Stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know why U.S. home sales in 2024 fell to the lowest level in nearly 30 years, 2 years in a row now? It's fallen dramatically. Well, you know why? Higher mortgage rates, record home prices. It is keeping so many people from buying their own home. We've got to get interest rates down. We got to get inflation back to a healthy number. There's another statistic that came out today. More people are only paying the minimum payment as their credit card balances are rising. That means they're never going to pay off their credit card bills that way. And most Americans can't afford $1,000 emergency expense. This is the economy Donald Trump just inherited.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 Gold and Silver Kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Securing America.
Sea Strike. It's a new video made by the Navy, but it looks like something straight out of Hollywood.
Enemy forces remain unlocated. Projecting possible red positions.
How much time do we have left?
1-7 minutes.
Airborne lasers, talking drones. Sea Strike features a dizzying array of tech. The video says this is the possibility of the U.S. Navy in the year 2043.
We may not survive to get in range to launch cyber payload.
What if we modified one of your long-range weapons?
It would require modifying the front end and updating the software, but that could be done.
The Naval Information Warfare Center says the video is meant to showcase how emerging technologies may be incorporated at every level of the warfighting domain. They say it's about the future. You may say it's cool.
Auto launch and effect synchronization approved.
Weapons free.
Chill NATO, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a message on the Montana Talks app talking about the illegal aliens that remain in this country as the, you know, basically the raids continue all across America. Now, first, a little background. Of course, what Tom Homan was referencing earlier is right now they're starting with the most dangerous criminal element of these illegal aliens, the people who've already been convicted of other crimes on top of the crime of breaking into this country illegally. That's who they're targeting with deportation first, and then they're going to start to go after all of the other illegal aliens. And so that's why he's encouraging self-deportation starting right now. Lori in Billings said this: let's offer a free one-way ticket back to the country of origin, since they probably can't afford one. And if they ever come back illegally, a 10-year sentence, no parole, no early release in federal prison. That's from Lori in Billings. Lori, thanks for that message. I got some breaking news that just came across my email inbox here. Back to the Montana legislature. You guys have probably been following along. There's been a big debate in the Montana State Senate. You had eight or nine Republicans voting with the Democrats on the rules. That led to a lot of consternation in the state Senate in the opening days of the Montana legislature. One of the leaders of that kind of intra-party skirmish is former Senate President Jason Ellsworth, who lost the leadership election to now Senate President Matt Regeer, and then of course, Senator Ellsworth has found himself in the midst of several damaging headlines here. In fact, one headline from the Lee newspapers points to a legislative audit saying that Senator Ellsworth's contracts were, quote, illegal and a waste of state resources. The Montana Television Network had another headline: legislative audit report finds abuse and waste in Ellsworth's handling of contract. I just got an email, and I'm assuming some other folks in the media got this email as well. This came from Senate President Matt Regeer. He says this: there will be a motion on the Senate floor today regarding referring the Senator Ellsworth situation to the Senate Ethics Committee. Senate President Matt Regeer also adds that he will be holding a press conference right after the floor session to discuss the matter further. The press conference will be in room 303, or alternatively, the Senate fan window right after the floor session. And, of course, the fan window is right where we were broadcasting live from 1 week ago Friday with our live coverage from the Montana Capitol. Let's see. Man, lots to talk about coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of this show. Definitely want to keep the phone lines open for you. We'll have some open phones time coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as we take you statewide from Glendive all the way to Missoula and some great small towns in between as well. So lots to talk about coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, whether it's the national stuff to President Trump's cabinet nominees, the first week with President Trump back in office. And then, of course, as you just heard, a lot of stuff here happening at the local level in Montana as well. One thing I want to share with you, because, heck, a lot of our listeners, Great Falls, Kalispell, folks all across the state, you didn't get a chance to hear this yet, but we gathered so much content. We caught up with so many great Montanans last week, from the Capitol in Washington, D.C., to the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, that there's no way that you got to hear it all. One of the great Montanans we got to catch up with last Tuesday is Josh Smith with the Montana Knife Company. And I meant to share that with some of you, you know, that Tuesday or later on in the week. And, man, we just had a whole week packed full of new content. So I want to play part of our conversation with Josh Smith from the Montana Knife Company, because it was just cool catching up with him after President Trump's inauguration last week. So, yeah, that'll be coming up as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Tariffs were used extensively when our country was young, when British manufactured goods dominated markets. There's little precedent for a modern, industrialized, large economy imposing tariffs on the scale envisioned by the Trump campaign. But the first Trump administration did raise tariffs, and the results were surprising to some. Appliance manufacturer Whirlpool's expectation that tariffs on imported washing machines will help its profits grow were dashed when they realized that those same tariffs pushed up prices for the steel they used at their domestic plants. It's the unintended consequences of tariffs, most of which are perfectly predictable, that have made a generation of economists stand firmly against their use. The fact that they lead to retaliation from those whose exports are affected. The fact that they're often passed along as price increases to consumers. The fact that they allow laggard, inefficient companies to remain in business when competition might have forced them to improve. Shall we learn those lessons again? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.